انا اللي بيحل لي. Honorable Thunder.
Thank you, Administrator. You must be part of the caucus. I think I would oppose that and elect Ms. Ligani to sit on the chair. I don't have spectacles, so I'm useless.
Two members have been elected, Honorable Sonto and Honorable Ligani. Any seconder for one of the members?
Hasn't Mr. Sonto withdrawn his name? So.
All right. Honorable members, Ms. Bikani has been elected as an acting chair. I therefore hand over to Ms. Bikani, to Honorable Bikani, to take the chair.
Morning, members. I think for the record we should introduce each other, and my name is Faith Bikani from the ANC. As you've already heard, that the chairperson is having a medical problem. If I could take you through the agenda before the introductions. We'll be having a presentation from the Mine Health and Safety Council, and then there'll be discussions amongst ourselves. We'll have tea around about 11 o'clock, and then we can continue with responses, also still with mine health and safety, and hopefully with closure by 1 or before 1. Can we start with a round of introductions, starting from you, Honorable Golol?
Good morning, Honorable Members. My name is Chris Hululu. I'm a member of this committee. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Rose Sonto. I'm a member of the committee. Thanks.
Eric Lucas, member of the committee.
Good morning. My name is Lindy Njobo, member of this committee.
Morning. Philip Dexter, member of the committee.
Fred, can you just continue?
Good morning. My name is Mzuwakin Klapp. I'm a member of the Mine Health and Safety Council. Good
morning. My name is Nolene Woods. I'm from the Mine Health and Safety Council.
Mark Manuel, board member of Mine Health and Safety Council.
Good morning. David Mulapo, the Chief Finance Officer, Mine Health and Safety Council.
Good morning.
My name is Thabo Gazi, the Chief Executive Officer of the Mine Health and Safety Council.
Good morning, Honorable Members. I'm Zanele Keto from the Auditor General.
Good morning. I'm Donny de Villiers from CESL.
Morning. I'm Joseph Katanga from the DMR.
Good morning.
I'm Joanna Boysen from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Good morning, this is Lindley Klaba from Ministry of Mineral Resources.
Good morning, I'm Kathleen Grashmay. I am from the Deputy Minister's Office, BLO. Thank you.
Good morning, my name is Bongseni Ngwabo. I'm a researcher for the Portfolio Committee on Mineral Resources.
Good morning, I'm Chrisanne Lewis. I'm Secretary to the WIP of the committee.
Siki Walaza, Committee Assistant. Thank you.
Good morning, I'm Nelly Tandoskaka. I'm the Committee Secretary. Thank you.
Thank you to everyone. Can we just start Mine Health and Safety? I'm sure you're ready. Can we commence with the presentation? Yes, Honorable.
Can I check something?
Yes.
When the member from the Auditor General's office introduced herself, the CFO looked back. Is there any connection on that?
Honorable Sondu, you're out of order. Can we start the presentation, please?
Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, it's a pleasure for us as the Mine Health and Safety Council to come and share the presentation on a strategic plan. I think the Council has, in the recent meetings, expressed its concern about the trends in terms of health and safety at mines, the deterioration that we've seen emerge in the beginning of the year, and our program does take into account those developments, and we will indicate what we will be doing in this year and years to come to continue to strive to improve conditions at mines and the livelihood of mine workers. I think we've gone through the introduction, just an apology for the chairperson who will be joining us as the presentation continues, but we have the members as indicated on the slide there. The presentation will cover those areas, Council's mandate, the health and safety milestone, and a reflection really in the summit that took place in 2003, because to a greater degree has directed and guided the work of the Council in addressing the question of health and safety in the South African mines. And then the strategic plan, and we chose presentation on specific initiatives. We'll talk about the budget alignment and then the conclusion to the presentation. But in the main, the presentation, Chair, if I can just say, we've circulated the document on the Council strategic plan, which is fairly detailed on each measure, and at the end it's got a section on materiality and also the detailed budget, the split of the budget for the coming 3 years. In the main, the Council strategic plan takes into account the stakeholder needs, requirements, the mining industry opportunities and challenges, and outcomes of the industry initiatives and plans as they relate to health and safety. And we'll talk about that detail. On slide number 4, we just highlighting the Council mandate as articulated in the Establishing Act, the Mine Health and Safety Act. And the following slide, are we highlighting keywords that really articulate why Council exists. And in the main, it's 4 issues advising the Minister on all issues relating to health and safety. Secondly, the review of legislation. And legislation here, the focus is more on the technical regulation
the regulations, not the policy framework per se, although the council does make inputs on the policy framework, and then also promoting health and safety in the mining industry. And in the last 2 years, we've undertaken major work on culture transformation. We'll talk in details about that in the presentation. And also the council does, in the main, look at the program of health and safety research that focuses on addressing the challenges of health and safety as identified through the work of the inspectorate and also the investigations and inquiries that are conducted. And lastly, council has a legal duty to liaise with other bodies, and in particular, in the last 2 years and going forward, we focusing very closely our relationship with MQA to make sure that whatever work we develop here is filtered into the training and capacity development in the sector. So in the main, those are the area: advising the minister, reviewing legislation, promoting health and safety, overseeing a program of health and safety research, and liaison work that needs to be undertaken to ensure health and safety conditions in the mining industry. Slide number 6 looks at the council structure and its committees. We have an audit and risk committee and 3 members who are fully independent in line with requirements of the King Code and now also the Companies Act to ensure governance, really, with people with an external eye on our operations. And they continue to advise council on our work, on our expenditure, on programs. And this has helped a lot going forward, will help a lot going forward. And the 3 committees that are known: Mining Regulations Advisory Committee, MREC, focusing on the review of legislation, developing guidelines and standards. MOHEC, similar focus, but more on health, maybe a bit extended because they also look at health information. That's the Act and Health Policy. And then SIMREC, establishing the needs and then developing a research program that we manage and will indicate some of the work that we are doing. I must say the bulk of council work over the years really hinged around SIMREC programs and how we planning to extend it in this year and years to come to really make a meaningful impact on health and safety. And then for this year, going forward, we've introduced the 4th committee. In law, the only committees that were established were those 3. We've introduced a committee called MITHEC, which focuses on HIV/AIDS and TB in the mining sector. In this first quarter, we've developed the work programs for it, taking into account the national strategy, the NSP, and also work that has been done. We've done a bit of work on HIV/AIDS at the council. So taking all that work together and developing a clearer plan of action for the council and addressing the challenges surrounding mines on HIV/AIDS and TB. And as underlying the structure is the operational execution and implementation. At the top, you have council. We have 2 members here who provide the leadership for council and the engine of the council that makes sure that what is planned, what is decided, is done. It's ourselves, the CFO, and the research manager. Slide number 7 looks at 2003, because in the main, in 2003 we had a major summit. In terms of the Mine Health and Safety Act, we have to hold a summit every 2 years to review performance and really look at what we have achieved and what needs to change and what are the new focus areas. So the first major summit was in 2003, where specific milestones were set around fatalities, and injuries. And at that time, the industry was responsible for almost 300 deaths per year at that time. So clear targets were set, and gold was identified as the major contributor at that time. So the target set in 2013, the gold subsector must achieve safety performance levels equivalent to the at least current international benchmark. And I'll outline it in the next slide. Platinum, coal, other sector, also a specific target set for each of the sectors in terms of injuries and deaths. And then two main targets for health, dealing with the silicosis problem. And there, the 95% benchmark for all exposure measurement will be below the occupational exposure limit for respirable crystalline silica of 0.1 milligrams per cubic meter. In December 2008, there's a slide indicating the performance within that regard, and also targets around noise-induced hearing loss. And maybe just to comment on the 110 decibel, because I remember the last time we presented to the committee, there was an issue with the 110 decibel, where members were saying the law says 85 decibel, and why the target there is 110. A few comments on that. The targets were set understanding the environment at the time. I mean, exposure levels were too high, and I think the concluding slide does talk about this journey we've engaged on in addressing the problems. And secondly, when the target was set, cognizance was taken of the attenuation that the personal protective equipment, PPE, can reduce the noise level by about 30 decibels. So if you have that noise level, and the point to note there, it says at equipment. The focus now is on personal monitoring. People must not be exposed to over 85. What the target is saying is focusing on machines, to say the machines must reduce up to 110, and obviously with personal protective equipment, it takes it to the legal limit. However, these targets were set at the sectoral level. It was not a council, at a council operational strategic plan. It was a sector summit, which we will have in September in 4 months, and these targets will be reviewed in line with a discussion with the committee. So the next slide really gives meaning to the targets that we have articulated at the summit at the time. The international benchmark currently is one fatality per 33 million hours worked. And currently where we're operating as a country, one fatality per 7 million hours worked. So definitely a lot of work that needs to go into this area to continue to improve, to be comparable with other countries and jurisdictions around the world. And in 2008, the target was clearly that no new cases of silicosis for new employees and no deterioration of less than 10% in mine employees. So those are the targets as they are. This is what we're working towards. Our research work, our promotion work, focuses in getting us to these levels, and we'll see how we have performed towards the end of the presentation. So having taken into account the development in the sector, stakeholder needs, we crafted our strategic plan. And our strategic plan is it's crafted in a format of the balanced scorecard, as a new development, as one can say, in management accounting. It's not clearly a new concept, but not fully embraced. And it's a balanced scorecard indeed, because it forces you to look at the overall business, looking at what customers need or stakeholders, what internal processes you need to be able to deliver on what the stakeholders need, developing capacity internally, learning and growth and systems that will help you to deliver, and also financial perspective that helps us to focus on those areas. So the under customers' perspective, we've developed objectives that really addresses the needs as articulated by the stakeholders in the sector, the department, the mining industry, the organized labor. So we've developed objectives around that, and also strategic priorities for various business processes that create customer and stakeholder satisfaction. And in the main here, because internal business processes can be really many, and what we're doing, we're focusing on those processes that deliver value for our customers, our stakeholders, and we will indicate how we do that. And then learning and growth, priorities to create a climate that supports organizational change, innovation, and growth. And then on the financial perspective, our strategy really focuses on growth, sustainability, and risk viewed from a perspective of stakeholders. And sustainability is a key thing for Council, because we don't really operate monies from fiscus. We collect levies for the most part, 80 or above 80% of the monies we use are collected directly from the mines. So there is that component of revenue collection and raising monies that is needed to carry out our work. So those are the objectives developed for the different strategies, and I'll focus on the customer one, because that's what I'll articulate in the main right through the presentation. One of the key ones is promoting occupational health and safety culture in the mining sector. And often when we refer to this objective, I take go back to the Act, because it's stipulated as one of the objectives of the Mine Health and Safety Act. First chapter of the Act articulates the importance of promoting health and safety culture in the mining industry. In 1994, with the Lyon Commission, Judge Lyon dedicated a section of that report talking to the need to improve the culture of health and safety in South African mines, and will indicate the work that we have done and programs that we will roll out to address the challenges. Regular and timely feedback, we are an entity operating in the PFMA environment. There are tight deadlines that we need to stick to, and that's an objective that's important from our stakeholder. Also, providing advice and reliable information on health and safety, influencing legislation, and also strengthening tripartite partnerships. And if I can just talk briefly, Chair, on the strengthening of the tripartite partnership, the way Council operates really is built on that three legs: business, labor, and state. And it can be very challenging. It's a relationship that's built on trust, negotiation, and agreement. And when those things are not there, movement can become very slow. And so we've identified that as an important objective while we're doing work, also to build those relationships going forward to make sure that we're able to deliver on what we need to do. So this is a pictorial view, a picture of what we have discussed in the main. At the top, the yellow that you see is the customer focus, which is really the key focus of Council. If we fail to deliver on that, it really, we will be failing to carry out our mandate. And then in the middle, the blue section talks to the engine room, the internal things that we need to do to be able to achieve our stakeholder objectives. And all these are built on the bedrock of managing risk, collecting revenues and also improving our cost structure, developing capacity internally, embedding core values, and building accountability. If we do all those things, we are able to achieve the goals that we set for ourselves. So going directly now into the strategic plan for the next 3 years, under customer perspective, there are the five measures: promoting health and safety culture in the mining industry, providing advice, regular timeous feedback, influencing occupational health and safety performance, and strengthening partnership. And we have identified specific measures, signposts, that will help us to see whether we are achieving what we set out to achieve. For example, there on the promoting the culture, percentage promotion of occupational health and safety culture framework and plan, we're planning to achieve 90% of that this year. I must indicate to the committee that the report is finalized. It has been approved. Currently, council will be sitting to finalize the framework and driving the implementation. And in fact, this culture transformation framework has been built also into the charter requirement, so companies understand that they have to comply to the requirements in this area of occupational health and safety culture. Covered in this framework is what are really the drivers, what drives behaviors that leads to unsafe environment and also injuries. We've looked at values, what people values, built into the value systems. There's also bonus questions addressed in this whole culture transformation framework, and we believe that the implementation of this work will take us to a next level of improvement in health and safety. If we look from 2007, we've improved safety performance at mines by 53%, and we believe the implementation of this work will take us further down in seeing major improvement in health and safety. So it really revolves around developing guiding principles to improve or transform the health and safety culture in our industry. I'll move to the internal processes. Members, I'm not talking to each point. I'm just speaking. Later, I'm going into initiatives that address their specific objectives. Under internal processes, here I said this is the engine. If we fail to do this, I mean, in the past we would set strategies, but we never really looked internally. Are we able to deliver? And there is that focus. We've developed objectives around business efficacy, developing processes, policies, and enforcing adherence to those processes to make sure that we deliver the quality of service that our stakeholders require. And here I would like to focus on that objective of engaging on focused research. And we will be monitoring the project milestones achieved. The problem with research is you can set targets and often they drag on, and we're really focusing on that. And in fact, this year for the first time, we managed to start new projects on the 1st of April, the beginning of the financial year. If we look at last year, I think when we presented the annual report, there were questions around why you have so many reds in your annual report at the time. And the reason really was in the previous year, we had started research 6 months into the financial year. And this year already in April, our processes are beginning to show that things are working, and we started all the new projects on the 1st of April. And to improve technology transfer and uptake of research, because the challenge with research, you do research, you finalize it, reports are filed, and you find that people are not using the outcome of research. So with all our research now, we are identifying a champion mine, a mine that will partner with the researchers testing the outcome until that research project is finalized, and we think it will really improve the promotion and also technology transfer of the work that comes out of our research work. The next slide focuses on internal capacity. We want to build a fully motivated and skilled workforce required to enable the Council to deliver on its mandate. And to this end, what we've done now, we've implemented a new performance management system, and we've identified the training needs of individual staff members in line with what they need to deliver, and managers are implementing training to make sure that we have motivated staff, focused, and able to deliver on the goals that we've set for ourselves. And at the heart of this is embedding core values of the organization. If you look at the document provided, I think on page, the strategic plan document, it articulates the values that Council embraces, and in those values we try to inculcate them into our staff. And in that way, we think we're building a vibrant organization that is alive to the challenges faced by the sector. Financial perspective. This perspective addresses the execution of the Mine Health and Safety Council mandate economically and efficiently. As I indicated in the opening, we're collecting revenue. Annually, what we do, we take all the accidents that have been reported. We develop a risk profile for each mine. On the basis of that, we charge mine levies. And we collect those monies, and those monies are used to conduct research. Annually, we collect levies to the tune of 50 million. And in fact, what you see before you there, members, if you look at the rand value of bad debts that we're currently facing, we were standing at about 16 million. We've been engaging debt collectors to assist us. I think that figure has come down to 13 million. But all these are old debts. And in fact, the global crunch that we faced recently with a lot of diamond mines closing, we have a lot of irrecoverable debts that was indicated there. But we've put a lot of processes that is beginning to bear fruit and collecting money, and that's our goal, to reduce the bad debts to a minimum level, as you can see indicated in 2014-15 financial year. And at the bottom end, managing risks, we vigilantly identifying risk. I think the process we're embarking on under the internal processes, codifying our processes, really helps us to have a look at areas that may be of concern or risk areas in managing our entity, and we actively managing those. Quarterly meetings, when the audit committee meets, we give them full report of where we are. They give us comments, also counsel. So we adequately, in my belief, managing the risks going forward. So going into specific initiatives, we've looked at the objectives, the measures. Now going into specific programs, how we implementing what we said we implementing. Under internal business processes, we spoke about efficient business processes as one of the objectives. What we are doing there, we've developed a system. I think it was a joint project in the beginning with the department. We call that system South African Mine Safety and Health Administration System, and it's beginning to really bear fruits. That's the face of the system. We have all the mine records there. Accidents are reported there. It improves analysis, establishing the needs for research, and also focusing our research in areas that are indeed problem areas. This picture here highlights the processes. If you look at, for example, occupational health and safety research management, we've gone into our whole research process and said, what are the key processes? For us to really deliver on this, to satisfy our stakeholders, what do we need to do? And we've identified those 7 steps, removing facilities from there, identifying research, which research must you conduct. So we have a full process that is guided that really helps us, and I'll indicate to members how we go about that. And then once the research is procured, we need to manage it from there. We have a full process. This is one area where we suffered with technology transfer. We have introduced a process of research outcome management, where once the researchers have completed their research work, we have an internal team that takes that research work, go through the research work, and prepare a recommendation to council and council committees, and council, if it sees a need, also to recommend to the minister that we've done this research and these are the areas we think can be implemented. It's one area we didn't have in the past, and research outcome management, we believe it will improve a technology transfer. And in fact, when one looks at the ILO Convention 161, talking about the role of regulators, one of the things identified for regulators is actually technology transfer, because inspectors, in doing their work, they are exposed to too many things, more than a manager at a site. And we believe that this initiative will also assist inspectors in carrying best practice into operations where people are not using best practice. They're able to point them to the research outcomes that can help them to improve their operations safety performance. And then now and then we run special projects, and I'll indicate where stakeholders pick up a need, and those projects are undertaken to establish the needs for bigger research or to address problems as we see them at that particular time. And then this is just taking that procedure, the first one, research identification, just to give the committee a flavor of how we go and what we're doing annually to come to research needs. We look at occupational health and safety reports. Sorry, that slide looks much smaller, but it was just an indicative picture of what we look at. We look at health reports. We look at breakdown of safety performance. I mean, for example, if you look at the blue there, it says fall of ground. I can't see the percentage there, but takes a bigger chunk. And then once we've looked at the areas that need attention, like fall of ground, trackless mobile machinery, clearly from the safety injury statistics, we can see these are the causes. We also look at the research that has already been conducted, because we don't want to duplicate and waste resources. And then we'll also look at the development in the mining sector, because in general, companies are doing research and development on their own also and through other entities. So we do look at developments in the health and safety arena. And once we've done that, then we develop thrust areas like fall of ground, seismicity, medical surveillance. And those particular areas, we develop research questions where we then are able to invite researchers to come in and do work for us. So those are the two processes we have developed. If I look back, the research procurement kicks in once we've engaged the researchers, and those are the processes. We engage technical experts also to verify the quality of the research that comes out, technical delivery of those research, and assist us in areas of technology transfer, the knowledge back into the sector for implementation. The next slide captures the process I've spoken about of research outcome management. It's a fairly new process, reviewing final reports, publishing the research outcome, sending recommendations to council, and council on the basis of that work will also advise minister if there's a need for policy review, if there's a need for legislative regulatory reviews, and also maybe a need for further research. So we're closing the loop by introducing this process, which we believe will really improve technology transfer into the sector. So on this initiative, we've implemented a new system. The grey buttons that you see there will help us also from achieving our goals. When we come later in the year or next year, when we present our annual report, not to come and present the rates, but right through the year, monthly, quarterly, the current system that we have implemented will flag the rate. If any initiative, I mean, if you take the customer perspective, for example, providing advice, if we're not sending advice to the minister, the system will automatically flag red. We can drill down and see which specific initiative or objective is not delivering, and in that way it helps to focus the attention of management, of council, and its committees on tracking and monitoring what we have committed to do. This is just a view of the system. We have the objective right down to projects, individual projects, and the system will signal where there's a problem, where there's a delivery problem, and we're able to change our initiative if it needs be, quarterly or monthly, so that in the end, we set out to go to Cape Town, and at the end, we are in Cape Town. We don't end up in Mozambique. So that's what we have done. At an initiative level, the system allows us to capture the performance analysis, problems, and also recommendations. Because with projects, you might, if you monitor, you will see that this specific initiative is taking us nowhere. But without monitoring, you're not able to change your plans during the year. So the system will help us to do that so that we're able to deliver on our objectives. Now, looking at purposeful research, we can see on the right, the top graph, it just gives us an indication. If you look at 2009, that blue graph shows that per month, on average, in 2009, our industry was killing 15 people, roughly, per month. And that figure has dropped. In 2010, on average, was around 12 deaths, or even less, per month. And a lot of these achievements can be linked to the work that has been done on rock falls, rock bursts. The current focus area, focus areas, we're still doing work on rock falls, rock bursts, airborne particulate silicosis, and the new area that has been a major problem and in the media recently, acid mine drainage and the health impact on communities. Council is undertaking research, this work, to quantify the health impact. There's been a lot of discussion around acid mine drainage, but not much about the health impacts, and we're focusing on that work, and we should be able to finalize a report that will assist the department and also Parliament in looking at this question squarely. And we're also focusing on dust and impact on communities. We know we have slum dams all over mining communities, and we're going into those dams, testing some of them and seeing how they impact on community, the health impacts of those dams. And we've taken a major project with Council of Geoscience, committed to a program of 3 years, 29 million, on integration of all seismic networks. And we will know the technical difficulty here. Council of Geoscience monitor at a high level. I think there's a national level, and what they can pick up is basically much higher than what you're able to pick up in the mine seismic network. Mine seismic network are much finer, much more refined because the seismicity there is much lower. So you have to rigorously interrogate the technology to see how you integrate it, build computer algorithm that will take into account the differences and levels of data. And so that work has started. And other companies are really have come on board. I know Telkom has dedicated 5 sites without charge to Council for Geoscience. And this is a project we're really excited about. One of the areas we've often been raising is that Rustenburg is growing, platinum mines are growing, and we're not fully monitoring. And we don't want to build a city that will be rocked by seismicity in years to come. And with the spread of this seismic integration, we begin to understand the behavior. In the beginning, when we started this project, I think the era of presidential audits, people were saying, shallow mines, there's no seismicity, and we're beginning to pick up seismicity in that area. And these are forward-looking projects that will assist us to avert and avoid disasters in years to come. And with the introduction of women into the workplace, the focus also is personal protective equipment for women in underground work, and Council is undertaking that work to make sure that we have equipment that is designed for women and it's comfortable. We know with safety equipment, often people, the reason why people don't use equipment is because it's uncomfortable. And you want to design it ergonomically in a way that will, people will be able to use it. So these are the major focus areas as defined by the needs, analysis of statistics, and what stakeholders deem to be important. And these are the areas we're engaging research on. In the last few years, we had major developments. We had summits. The culture transformation framework, as I've indicated, it's been finalized. We're in the final stage of implementing it. But the picture on the right is a mind map. This work took place in Nelspruit. At the heart of it, it says transforming the culture of the South African mining industry. We had all stakeholders there, and that was their ideas on what can be done, that branch from that core. And the whole culture transformation framework was developed with the involvement of stakeholders, a thorough research work that was done with CSIR in conjunction with another Australian company. And that report is robust. We think it will help us to turn the sketch of injuries and deaths as we see them in the mines. One of the major thrusts we need to deliver on is the establishment of a center of excellence. And I'd like to spend a few minutes in this area. When we look at countries around the world that have been able to improve on health and safety, they have regulators. Regulators have technical backup and resources to be able to tackle the challenges. We've often spoken about the capacity challenges of the inspectorate. We have a council here. We have a modern equivalent in the developed world. And those entities have access to laboratories, to experts, so that if there's a major accident, you're able to call the experts immediately. You don't go through procurement processes. It's 3 months down into the line. You're talking about investigations and lives. You need to move in quickly. And 2 years back, Council saw the need to do this. Members of Council and also the executive at the time went to Queensland in Australia, where they have a very fine model, an institution called SIMTAS. Same like us, levies collected from mines, money goes there, and they have in-house research capability and build research institutions, laboratory. So if the inspectorate receive reports, for example, on health, and they doubt the validity of this report, there's a laboratory that can go and verify the reports. The biggest challenge we have in this country, in my belief, it's not so much injuries and fatalities. Yes, they are a problem, but on the health side, we have a major problem. We have a major problem, and you're not going to tackle it without these facilities. And council is looking at developing a center of excellence in conjunction with other existing entities, CSIR, National Institute of Occupational Health, and we believe this will be a major step forward in achieving the goals we've set for ourselves. In July, council will be hosting HIV and AIDS TB summit. In the beginning of last year, we commissioned a study through the National Institute of Occupational Health, who looked at mice, went to mice, and established incidence, prevalence, and the challenges around HIV, AIDS, and TB. I must say, as a sector, we've moved well ahead of everybody, if I can say, because the International Labour Organization, everybody's beginning to say, deal with HIV and AIDS together with TB. And I think with that report, we've moved in that direction. And there will be a summit in July, I think after the 20th, that we'll be looking at this report and mapping the way forward for the sector. And in September, we will have a bigger summit on occupational health and safety to review all our programs. And this is where we will also look at the noise level benchmarks, the 110 decibel. And we have a communication plan that highlights some promotional activities that will be taken in between, and also technology transfer initiatives. As research are finalized, we have now technology transfer initiatives which will help us get the knowledge into the sector and continue to improve the sector. This is the staff at council, the deputy minister, who was visiting the council at the time, and I don't know who's that gentleman who's tall at the back with with the glasses. But in the main, here are the main initiatives at a national level. Implementing the culture transformation framework is the biggest focus for council this coming year. Continuing to improve tripartite relations, as I indicated in the beginning, without robust tripartite relationship, there's very little that council can do. It really works on negotiation, agreement, and trust, and will continue to build those relationships to allow us to move forward in addressing the challenges. We will also ensure the implementation of the summit commitments on learning and growth. The Center of Excellence will take us a long way in addressing capacity challenges, because one of the legs of the Center of Excellence is training. And we believe as research outcomes come out, they will be developed into training material for workers, for supervisors, and also experts in the field, which will also drive this aspect of capacity development in the sector. We continue with our initiative of reducing illiteracy in the mining sector through our collaborative work with MQA. And currently we're running a program with MQA where we want to train. We are training, the last time I looked at the figure, we trained already 7,000 health and safety representatives. There is work going on to improve the content of that training. But that training, when it was conceived, it's important because we have capacity challenge on the inspectorate side. Health and safety representative are at work 24/7 really, and if they are trained adequately, they become additional eyes to regulators. When they see unsafe, unhealthy conditions, they are able to take the necessary steps, and that was the aim of improving capacity at that level. So these are the goals articulated in many ways in our program. And really, in summary, Chair, This shows the systems we are implementing in terms of improving our monitoring and evaluation, and also the budget linkages to our program. On slide, I've lost the slide numbers, but the graphs there indicate the operational costs versus the money spent on research and the committee administrations of council. The CFO can give more details if required, but the detailed costs are covered in the document that we have circulated to members. So in conclusion, health and safety, dealing with the health and safety question, members, it's not a destination. It's really a journey. It's a journey which is long, windy, very bumpy. There are gains, sometimes setbacks, and we continue to do all we can. Council is an entity that develops knowledge and advice that feeds into business, into government, regulatory work, to support the work of improving health and safety. The South African mining industry has achieved major successes, but the challenge is ever constant. As we are talking currently, when we look at the beginning of this year, there are challenges. Some members in the industry have been quoted as saying more of the same is not going to do the trick. So we really need to constantly relook at what we're doing to learn, unlearn, and relearn new ways of dealing with the problems. The minister was quoted also as saying, what is frustrating is the fact that all these accidents are repeat in nature, and by now we should have learned from previous cases. And together with stakeholders, we really working on looking at root causes and focusing on that. Because what the statement says is that we need to improve our investigation outcomes. If we don't, we'll keep repeating, you know, the same thing. We need to learn from the failures and really build on improving. The graph on the right captures the history from 1984, the various intervention, Lyon Commission in 95, the Mine Health and Safety in 1996, 97, and we see since the introduction of the Mine Health and Safety, which really introduced a very progressive concept of Section 11 risk management in our legislation, we see a major improvement from there. Things sort of stabilized around 2000, 2001. We went for 3 years, no improvement. There was a summit in 2003, which I've referred to, set clear targets, which we'll be reviewing in September. And we've noted major improvements from then. Things sort of stabilized a bit. Leadership summit in 2008, we saw a downward trend, and we hope with the review that's coming will continue to drive this the fatalities and injuries downward. Zero harm in South Africa, that's the question. Is it a myth or a possibility? And really our belief is that it is a possibility through a legislative program, research, promotion, collaboration, and advice. We have, when we look at our trends, made a dent, and we will continue to do that to improve the livelihood of mine workers. Thank you.
Honourable members, welcome to those who joined us. I don't know if you want to introduce yourselves, because I think these other members are also coming a bit late.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable members. Good morning. I would like to also apologise. There was an urgent meeting with the minister, and minister requested me to convey the similar apology in this particular regard. But as the board, I'm the acting chairperson of the council, and we also have board members as with me here. As Mr. Gazi has indicated, Our main challenge as well is the repeat accidents and health issues that we are dealing with now. And we are greatly concerned that we are not achieving a sustainable improvement. Last year, we had the lowest fatality rates, but early this year, first quarter, we had a serious challenge. And we believe that the Mine Health and Safety Council should play an integral role in assisting the industry and all stakeholders in achieving significant and sustainable improvement. And again, as Mr. Gaz has indicated, it's very, very critical that we improve on our internal processes and systems. That will ensure that we better promote the work that has been done through research and also technology transfer. And I think the most positive thing about the council is that all the three stakeholders are sitting there, ourselves as a state, business, and labor as well. And from our engagements, we agree that we all share a common objective, that is of the employees' health and safety. And together, we should really, especially through council, work together to make sure that it's attained. So I just wanted to briefly indicate that we'll continuously ensure that we really support the industry in achieving the strategic goals that I've indicated. Thank you.
Honourable members, I don't know if you are interested in engaging, but I was kind of interested on the financial outbreak, because I heard you saying that the CFO is around. Would you be able to take us through that and just give us a briefing on that before we start engaging? Would you agree?
Yes,
please do that. I think it will be of
assistance. I'll do, Madam Chair. Thank you. I will actually talk to... It's more or less, I think, the last page of the handout the document that we have.
Sorry, member. Honorable Smith, you are welcome. If you just introduce yourself with your...
Thank you, Madam Chair. Hendrik Schmidt from the Mining Committee, from the DA.
And the mayor was accompanying you?
Hinata Tweedy, I'm assisting Hendrik.
Thank you. That was just for the record. Okay, can continue.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As the CEO indicated on the financial perspective, he did indicate that we actually survive on the levies that we collect from the mines, and the percentage split indicates that our revenue, 91% of it comes from the mines, while 9% is the state funding from the DMR. That being the case, as we noted under our financial perspective initiatives, cost control is one of the items that we are very cautious of. We are mindful of the purpose for which MHSC was created, and therefore we are managing our resources in such a way that there is adequate resources in terms of having enough human resources to be able to do the work that the MHSC is mandated to do. And if we look at those financial figures on the last page, we will know that about 20% of the costs there are allocated to staff expenses, whilst 54% is meant for use in the research and health and promotion matters. Just to make sure that we attain that approved budget allocation, we are looking very closely at how do we manage our fixed costs. And the way we manage our fixed costs in such a way that at the beginning of the budgeting process, we actually, the very same activities that are highlighted in the strategic plan, we then develop the initiatives that need to be done. Each section is requested to do those initiatives. What I'm trying to put across, Madam Chair, here is to say the figures that we see there as a budget, how do we come to them? So each section will develop its initiatives,
and then they cost them. Behind this, there are detailed sheets back at the office which are assisting us in monitoring whether people are spending according to their approved budget and also whether they are spending in line with approved activities. We have developed, as the last slide indicated, that we have aligned our budget to the strategy. We have developed cost center reporting and e-sectional reporting plans. On a monthly basis, Madam Chair, we produce reports where we are able to check as to how each section is performing against the approved budget. And these reports, given the systems that we have put in place, we make sure that they are done speedily so that we can be able to take corrective actions on time and also to view ourselves against the budget. The effectiveness of these processes that we have, Madam Chair, can as well been reflected in how smoothly our current audit is going. We're able to close the books speedily. By end of April, we're ready to submit the financials to the AG for auditing, and auditing is going quite well. That is what I just wanted to give in addition to what the CEO has given, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Members, I don't know if you want to start engaging or posing questions, and then after that we take a tea break. Check if tea is here first. Okay. And then, are you quit? Okay. Okay, while you wait for the tea then, let's have members engaging. Are there any questions from your side? Attributions and contributions. I think he apologized for being late. Honorable Smith, you can
I apologize for being late. But can I just say, you know, I'm unfortunately you probably the only one speaking because I haven't had the opportunity of reading it, but I think that point was made, you know. The fact that there's fatalities on the mines is not only the mining houses' liability. It is also the liability or responsibility of the workers, like you said, the union, as well as the department. You know, we often side with the department, but the department has an oversight role, as a regulatory role, to ensure that the environment is such a nature then so far as it can, that those circumstances do not occur which lead to fatalities or injuries. So it's not that easy, and the point I'm making is the department cannot walk away and say, but look at what the mining houses are doing. COSHA is the responsibility of ensuring that there are no circumstances which give rise to fatalities or injuries. And that's the only point I'd like to make, and I made it in the budget speech, but I think what Mr. Ghazi has said, the last bit of what I heard, kind of enforces that idea. Thank you.
Honorable Lucas.
Thank you, Chair. I think my concern is that, you know, I must agree with the Minister. We've been mining for many, many years, and I think we've got the deepest mines in the world, and we don't seem to come to grips with this health and safety issue. And it's just recently that we've seen some progress in that light. But if we look at it, it's not pleasing. And I'm happy now there's some sort of working with state business and state business and labor, because I think that's important. If we work together, because there has been a competition between mining houses and for instance, the department, where they've been poaching people. And instead of working together and promoting it, it would be more advantageous. So I think we have to look at this more seriously. And yes, I think like the issue of noise It's long overdue. We can do it, and I'm happy that they're looking at the mobile vehicles to reduce noise at that level, because that puts the onus on the manufacturer to make sure that these vehicles are silent. So those things. The interest with the finance here, I'm just wondering about the interest rate. I see you've got 2011, 2012, 13, up to 15, and you have come to... Is that, how can you guarantee that's going to be the interest rate for the next 4 years?
Honorable Santa.
Thank you very much. I think in the interest of improving on the mine health and safety, there are summits that are occasionally being held, and one would want to understand the impact of those summits. And I'm also interested in the stakeholders involved. The fact that in September you are going to be holding another summit, it means that there is something that these summits are bringing forth. Can you share that with us? I don't want to repeat the question of the noise levels. I think it has been a pain of the committee, and I'm not sure whether the explanation that you have given, Mr. Kazi, whether it talks to the actual problem. If it does, really we would be very, very happy. If really that 110 decibels refer to machines, and when people have put on protective clothing or protective equipment, then it gets reduced to the acceptable levels, which is, did we say 75 or 85? 85 decibels. This notion of improving the health and safety culture, I'm sure it's a new approach, which is quite interesting, because when we talk about a culture, it's a culture that cuts across, I would say. It would involve the tripartite, labor, business, and government. If it has already been implemented, are the signs of success that we observe? I'm just trying to probe on that one. With interest, you are saying when you do research, you partner with certain minds, and I'm interested. What minds are you targeting, and why, and what is the rapport that you are getting from that kind of partnership with that particular mind, and what does it say about other minds that you are also dealing with? Lastly, the question of acid mine drainage. How far are we? I know we don't want to get into catastrophical levels, so far as that is concerned. I know the interministerial initiative that is being taken up, but from the point of view of health and safety,
how far are we in trying to contain that, in your view, and what impact does it have in our communities? I wanted, Chairperson, half a question now. The dust impact on communities, are there perhaps mines where you have made research and had outcomes, and what were those outcomes, and what are you doing about those outcomes? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Fanta. Honorable Khulul.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think my colleagues here have covered me in some of the questions. Let me thank also the presentation from the department and the first one actually would be on the financial perspective on the improved revenue collection. You said that you like last financial year you collected something like 50 million rands towards those companies that are not performing. In fact, there are penalties, you said. You use that money for other important programs within your what you call. I wanted to find out on the chair whether is that how do you feel when you get those monies actually from those companies? Is it good or bad? I don't know if you get my question, but you get these monies from these companies as penalties. Do you understand my question?
Please explain, it's fine.
No, let me withdraw this question, please. No, let me withdraw this question. Okay. This other one will be a question for clarity. I don't know, what is this embedding processes? Embedding processes. Yeah. And then on page 26, there's this I see these faces on the diagram there, on the right, extreme right. What do they mean, actually? I see the other one is frowning, the other one is smiling. I just wanted to get the sense. I think it's on page 26 or 27, somewhere there. And then on the safety also, Mr. Kazi, I wonder if there are any lessons that you draw from the Chilean experience, for instance, on the question of safety and all that. If you do work hand in glove with them on the question of safety. Thank you very much.
Anyone else, Honorable Members, before I come in? Honorable Dexter, are you fine?
I'm actually fine.
Oh, you're still part of us. Okay, I think... Sorry? Coming horror. Okay, Honorable, from the department, from the council, I'd just like to, I don't know, perhaps now we'll be having a repetition of an issue here, but I think the last time also there was a hell of an issue around this, the sound effects, this 110 decibels that versus the 85 decibels. Perhaps somewhere, somehow, our understanding is missing each other, but if I remember correctly, the chairperson of the committee, Honorable Gwane, had actually indicated that we wouldn't accept anything except the 85 decibels. Perhaps there should be some explanation to us of how best can we then work around the acceptable or the possible 85 decibels rather than the 110. But for some reason or the other, I see the 110 keeps on coming up as though you are saying to us that we must eventually accept that this is the within acceptable range, within an acceptable range. But if there is a figure of 85 that's being given, that we should actually be working on ensuring that the acceptable number should be 85. Why not? If you can just perhaps give an explanation around that. Then the other issue is this respirable crystalline of silica of 0.1 milligram. What is the accepted figure? And with the accepted figure, could you perhaps just indicate to us how that measurement is concluded for us to understand, have improved understanding of what the acceptable rate would be? The other issue is around the School of Excellence that you mentioned. I think we've once raised this issue where we were actually having a concern that there isn't one single university where we can say they actually do their studies specializing in mining or within the mining industry, also as a way of attracting learners to stay within the industry. If there's any processes that are developing in relation to your possible strategies that you've put in place to also have a way of attracting outside people to come into the industry in terms of their studies, any possibilities of an identified area to that. Then the other issue I'd like to know, perhaps assisting Honorable Khululu, is on the sanctions that you say you apply. You've mentioned that you collected something like 50 million. Can you just go into bigger detail about that and how you got to the 16 eventually? I think there was a decline of some sort. And if there are any sanctions that are applied to non-payers in relation to that, and those sanctions perhaps are they related to any piece of legislation that you possibly could look into as a committee for review to assist processes, I think, because it was part of an area, I think, that was a concern that not much is being done for legislative changes in relation to sanctions. And then the impact of the acid mine drainage on health issues around, I'm particularly interested, especially where we come from, around Orkney and what was the other place you came from, where the Aurora people were affected. Hopefully, yeah. Does your research include or detail into the actual impact, health impact that these people have gone through? Because if you look at the media, they're able to bring out what the complications, health-related issues are, and what are you then as a research unit doing to ensure that you tackle that before there's a bigger outburst? And I think there was a complication also in terms of possible acid mine drainage in the very mine, possible complications that could come out of that. To what extent was that accommodated in your strategy? Honourable members, do you agree that we can take a break, a tea break, and isn't it? While you collect yourself and your information, let's have a tea break. Thank you. Thank you.